Housing and Development. I'll start over. The Commission on Equitable Housing and Development meeting is now commenced. It is July 6th at 4 p.m. This meeting is being held virtually due to COVID-19 to allow for social distancing and protect the public health. As we continue our efforts in meeting remotely, we ask all commissioners and guests to mute yourselves until called upon to speak to avoid feedback and background noise. For those who have dialed in using the call-in number to unmute to speak, dial *6 on your phone. Also, prior to speaking, please announce who you are to identify yourself. As a reminder, this meeting is being recorded. We ask that you only use the chat function to request to speak or to announce that you are leaving the meeting so we can track quorum. Also, to comply with the state open meeting law, attendance and votes will be done by way of roll call using audio, not by using the chat function. So I'm going to go ahead and do roll call. Maggie Amato-Tayez.
Present.
Wendy Asher.
Present.
Marianne Beerling.
Present.
Mindy Bernstein. Mark Clark.
Here.
Vicky Cusino. Vicky's absent. Sharia Jimenez. Shay, I think, is absent. Lori Mazurbo.
Present.
Tisha Tallman.
Here.
Jim Toffel, I'm here. Kimbriana Washington. Kimbriana is moving. So she sent an email this week that she was going to be resigning from the commission. Ray Winch.
Present.
Kenny Wong.
Here.
And Jay Young.
I'm here.
Okay. And our ex officio members, Ann Chinenka. Ann and I talked a little bit ago. She said she's going to be here. She's running a little bit late. Corin Manning. Corin's not here yet. Betty Villegas. Okay, Betty's not here. And then Marcos Ismail.
Good afternoon. I'm here.
Hey, Marcos. Okay. Yeah, Marianne?
Yeah, Corin is on vacation.
Corin's on vacation. Okay. Okay, we'll keep an eye out for the others who are not here. Okay, for second agenda item is the review and the adoption of the meeting minutes from June 1st. The meeting minutes were sent out and they're also on our website. Does anybody have any changes to the meeting minutes?
Just a minor typo in Tisha Tallman's name. We're correcting that.
Any other changes?
I'll move their adoption as corrected.
Okay. There's a motion to approve the meeting minutes with that as amended. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Okay. We'll go ahead and do this by way of roll call. Maggie?
Aye.
Wendy?
Aye.
Marianne?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
Lori?
Aye.
Tisha?
Aye.
Ray? Ray, is Ray still with us? Looks like we lost Ray. Kenny?
Aye.
And Jay?
Aye.
And Jim, I'm on. This is Mindy.
Oh, hey, Mindy.
Aye.
Okay. Okay. Call the audience. Agenda item number 3. This is a time when any member of the public may address the Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Due to time constraints, the total time allocated for this is 15 minutes. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes each. Due to open meeting law, commission members cannot discuss topics that are not on the agenda. Items brought up by the public may be considered an agenda item for future meetings. So it looks like Victoria has her hand up. So Victoria, you have the floor.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. I looked at housing as a whole and all of the money and grants and programs and issues and organizations and entities and nonprofits. We're losing a lot of money. We are not working together. We are competing in our own city. We have a serious problem. And I think that we can solve that problem by looking at creating a single program initiative that works with the same grants, nonprofits, contractors, and businesses like Siri, Primavera, the Homeless Work Group, the SFA team from U of A. And we can look at the city as a whole and make a constructive breakdown plan for each part of the city with a similar process in which they send out these prima auras or these ladies who can speak multiple languages to assess properties that are not being used. And there's a lot of properties and you can get a handle on your city versus a market coming in and getting a handle on your city for you. And since you don't have those policies in place to protect your housing stock, we should do this first and then you will know what you need to do. And you can do home repair, accessibility repair with best practices so you can save money and use the best of what's out there for the current technology and industry. You could have a Discord or a Slack and use entrepreneurial tools like that. And you could have handymen work so that people can volunteer willingly to have something to do to help with the program, like the city homeless work program. And you can do solar, water, landscaping, gardening, ADUs like with Shay, and repurpose materials that are being left around the city or businesses that are repurposing materials and sometimes illegally dumping. So you can end a lot of your land propagation and management issues if you look at just creative ideas and combine them together into a team and work together and break the city out ward by ward and work with the wards. I think that you could do a great thing. You could figure out what you have and repurpose city owned properties like an old fire station or an old police station and turn it into a shelter. Boom, just like that. You could have warehouses where you keep the mats and the basic supplies and then contract for these buildings and see if the city or the people around will approve of the building being used for that. The reason I know this is because of transitional projects from Portland, Oregon. And so you could do that. I don't know why you couldn't do that. And I would suggest that for drop-in services, which is food, water, the ability to shower, lock your stuff up in a locker, and then all that cleaning up that you're doing would actually not continually be replaced by people making messes. The people don't know how to camp. They just don't. They weren't taught. They don't have those skills. So it would be efficient to teach some classes of meditation and how to camp and how to cope with the stress in which they have to endure while they wait for a housing unit to be built for them. And then you need to send in secret Santas and they need to go into these places so that you understand the limitations of what these nonprofits are bringing to your community and the trauma that is involved in that, because organized crime and criminals don't care. And they also continue to organize against you. And I am aware of that because I am watching. And I unfortunately attract bad company since I have good power. But I'm telling you this because I'm working with you. And that's all I have to say is drop-in services and emergency shelters and this one program that like completely deals with all the issues in once. It's totally doable. If you put me in charge, I would do it. So I think you can do it.
Hey, thank you, Victoria. I appreciate your comments. Is there anybody else who would like to speak? Okay, we're going to move on to agenda item number 4, which is the discussion and the possible facilitation of, I'm sorry, the selection of a facilitator. So we received a proposal from Bryn Jones about 2 weeks ago, I want to say. From Elan Consulting. And basically what she is proposing is to meet with each of the subcommittee chairs on an individual basis. And then she would attend the September, October, November full commission meetings sometime the objective of those would be to look at what we've done and then to basically start looking forward and try to identify our goals looking forward. In November, December, she's proposing we do a half-day in-person retreat, full commission with the full commission. And then in January, basically wrap it up. So the proposal is a cost of $9,000. I talked with Anne from the city, and she said that the issue that the city has right now is they cannot, because she's not an approved facilitator through the city, they cannot just bring her on at that cost. So if we want to use Bryn, she would need to subcontract through an approved city facilitator. And I believe she knows a few. She's on vacation right now. Otherwise, I would have tried to have that conversation with her before today. Jay, do you remember when she gets back?
I think she gets back at the end of July, maybe beginning of August. I think she's generally gone for a month in the summer, yeah. But I'm not positive.
But I think she's back before our next meeting, correct? That's what my memory
is. I don't remember for sure, but that sounds right.
Yeah. So she's out of the loop here for a little bit. I'll probably drop her an email and start that process. You know, the other option would be to switch to a city approved on-call facilitator. The facilitator that's working with the Streets Commission is the Southwest Decision Resources, and we can reach out to them and start the process over again. So I guess I wanted to just kind of throw it out to the group and see if you guys have a preference on next steps. So I guess I'm open to either. If Bryn can subcontract, I think that's the first question, is she willing to subcontract through one of the city approved? And if she is, I guess my feeling is we try to work with her because she has spent quite a bit of time working with us on this. Otherwise, as a backup, we'd go to an on-call. Ray?
Yeah, I've had really great experiences working with Southwest Decision Resources. I'm glad to know that they're one of the ones on city contract. It does seem like it might make sense I don't want to spend a ton of time on like who we're doing as working with as a facilitator, and like more interested in the conversation on like what our goals are and what we're hoping to get out of that. Yeah. But I would have a lot of trust in Southwest Decision Resources and their capacity to facilitate this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if they ended up costing less too. I would be interested in what their quote was.
Who do you know over there?
I've worked with Tani Robinson, I think that's her last name, but I could look that up. She taught some classes for the food bank when we were doing some decision-making processes.
Do you think it would make sense to set up an introduction?
Yeah, I'd be happy to look up their info and reach out.
Okay. Sarah Meganson, do you know who specifically is working with the streets department? Is it the same person?
I feel like I've heard Tawny's name before, and I know for like PDSD stuff, it's been Tawny. We can pull up the contract for the city and, you know, potentially share that, right? Their proposal that they had put in to be on call. It's all a part of our procurement site. So we can kind of pull that information together and assist with the reaching out to them. And if, you know, if the commission wants to try to coordinate them with, I forget her name, the other entity that you've been talking about, Jim, we can try to help facilitate that a little bit at the direction of the commission.
Okay. Jay, do you have any thoughts you want to chip in here?
You know, Jim, I kind of agree with Ray. I don't want to spend a ton of time, you know, out of our facilitators, but then on the other hand, you know, I think it's cool to get somebody to facilitate who does understand equity. I also know that Ray has been someone else. I don't know that they're on the city list, like Brent is not, but you know, and I guess the other thing too is, you know, I guess I'm interested to know, you know, do the other folks on the commission care one way or the other, or, you know, what is it that others on the commission hope to get out of the facilitation? Because I know that, you know, again, like Ray mentioned.
I think we lost Jay.
I think so too. He'll be back.
Yeah, Jay's traveling, so it's nice that he is taking out his.
I'm back.
You're back.
So I don't know. Probably what else I was going to say was not that important. I think you guys got the gist. But I mean, what other folks think? I think we need to make sure that we're, you know. On the same path and you know, we're getting where we need to go as a commission. So,
okay. Well, Ray, I'm really glad you brought up Tawny. I don't personally know any facilitators, and that's why I threw it out to the entire group. If you could help make an introduction, maybe this next month, and let's it might be an easier process. Because we know that they're approved through the city already, and then you know, we can discuss I guess an approval at our next meeting. Is everybody okay with that?
Very much so.
Okay. Okay. Good. So I'll follow up with you after this meeting, Ray. Okay, agenda item number 5 is the ASU equity study. So we tabled this item from our last meeting because Jay was gone, and Jay has been nice enough to join us, even though he's on vacation. But it's a little bit of a rough connection. So for those of you who don't remember, the equity study is on our website. It was posted, let me look here. It was posted for a March, well, it's part of the Housing Desegregation Committee meeting in March of this year. And there's really two documents as part of the study. The first is the context for the problem report. And this is a 28-page document. And it's a very good document. A lot of it regurgitates information that we've discussed previously in the commission, just in terms of defining some of the housing issues in the city. There's a lot of really good statistics here about the poverty levels, and it really breaks down our city in terms of kind of where the issues are in terms of housing issues and income issues and crime. The second document is the task report. And this is really, I think, the key report that the students from ASU put together. And it compares Tucson to three other cities, Austin, Chicago, and Seattle. And kind of each of them did an equity study. And so it tries to compare the statistics in Tucson to those three cities to better define what does housing equity look like. So I don't want to put everybody on the spot here, but I think it's important if we want to have a good conversation about this, it's important that everybody has read the document. And it's probably about an hour to an hour and a half to get through both documents. So if we're ready to have a discussion, I'm happy to do it now. If we want to wait another month, I'm okay with that as well. And Jay will be back at that time. So Mindy.
Thank you. Just because I get lost on web pages, would it be possible for those two documents to be sent to us directly?
Sure. Allison or Rachel, can one of you make a note to email these two documents to the commission members?
Yes.
Thank you. Marianne?
I think that it would be important for us to read the documents thoroughly before actually having a bigger conversation about equity. So I'd say hold off.
Okay. Marianne?
Yeah, I agree. And I'd like Jay to be here.
Y'all, I'm right here.
And looking good too, I'll say. Disha?
Thanks, Jim.
Or you want to speak, Jay? Go ahead.
I just real quick. What I think is important about the equity study is, like you were saying, Jim, I think it shows what other communities have done in terms of looking at what equity means for their particular community. I really do think that Tucson has established a baseline of where we are in terms of equity, housing equity in particular. Right now, I think that's critical. If we don't know where we are now, I don't think that we can. It just makes it really challenging to come up with policies that address equity. And then to see, you know, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years down the road, where we are. Have we improved equity at all or have we not? So, you know, until we take the steps, I think, as a city to, you know, figure out what equity means to Tucson and how to measure equity. And we want to do that. I think it's really challenging to make any progress around something that's already very challenging. So, you know, to me, that's really what we need to do next. I think that in a lot of ways, that's why we're having trouble figuring out what to do next. It's we haven't set a baseline and we haven't really set a vision for equity. So I think while the studies don't do that exactly, I think they kind of set the table and help provide some ideas for other resources and other things that we could do as a city going forward. So that's what I would say. But yes, certainly, if folks haven't read it, maybe it's, you know, we need to make sure that folks have read it and we table it for next time.
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing that was encouraging for me when I was reading this document is a lot of the things that the three cities are doing, we've already been talking about and trying to address here. So, you know, that was encouraging to me. There's some things that they're doing that we're not, but a lot of the stuff that they're doing, like the ADUs and the zoning changes and different things to encourage more affordable housing, those are the same things that we've been talking about for the last several years. So, Tisha?
Yeah, I was going to say something similar to what Dave just said on the baseline part. And, you know, we did set forth here, I think there was a place in the contextual report that set out the different indexes, the vulnerability, neighborhood vulnerability index, and then also the low and high opportunity map, and the desire to create or add additional indicators to be able to track. So what I'd be interested in knowing for this next meeting is not only, you know, a discussion of that everyone's read it, but any updates as to whether the city has moved forward on any type of benchmark or benchmark mean or increase or added indicators to those two devices that we currently are able to track, and that's actually in the report. And then the other thing would be, I'd be interested in knowing updates on what the city has done from the task report, because like you said, Sam, there's quite a bit of, you know, the city has done quite a bit and has done things similar to what these other cities have adopted. So I'd be interested in having an update on how the needle has moved since this report came out. We get these fabulous reports from Brandy on Housing First program, but there's some other areas in here that I know the city has moved forward on that I think would be interesting for us to receive, like regular or quarterly or biannually updates on those various initiatives, so that we don't keep revisiting, you know, the same discussion.
Marianne?
So, Tisha, are you wanting someone from the city in this discussion who can give us information about what benchmarks, if any, the city of Tucson has put in place?
Yeah, I think that would be helpful. You know, both the reports identified some areas that I think the city has moved on, and it would be great to know what updates have transpired since both of these reports were drafted.
Jim, is that something that somebody on this call does, or do you do that?
Jason, would that be, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, is that in your department?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question real quick?
When Tisha was talking, she wanted to have the city be part of next month's conversation on this equity topic, on its own benchmarks that it has put in place regarding, you know, equity and, you know, things that might be in the report that is in the report that the city might be doing.
Okay. I think Anne is not yet here with us. I think we can certainly as a team do that. And I think kind of, you know, internally we can figure out where that would come from in terms of the right section, unless any other city folks here know definitively.
I think I'll just jump in, Jason. I think we can, I think we can definitely speak to if there's been progress on kind of any of the things that are in the report for sure. And the answer might be, we haven't made progress in the past 6 months on a certain thing, but I think we can kind of like plan on giving, I think, a status update on the different like indices and maps and reports that we have, if that would be helpful for sure.
Jim, I have one other question. When we're reading this report, should we be looking at it from a perspective of being able to give a recommendation to the city of Tucson about proceeding with measuring this, or is that ultimately what we want to do, is be able to present something to the council to address?
So, Jay, do you want to take a crack at that, or do you want me to take a crack at that one?
You know, I can take a crack at it. I mean, I think this is the question, right? It's like, what is it exactly that we as the commission can do to advance equity? You know, whose responsibility is it? I think the other thing, too, that comes to my mind in hearing us talk about it right now is, you know, I think we all agree that the city is doing things to improve housing equity. But when I ask the question, I think it's hard for the city to articulate it. And I think you're seeing that right now. So I think part of it is, you know, creating this framework that the city is viewing its decisions through and then able to articulate, right? It's like, okay, these are the things that we're doing as the city, and this is how it's improving equity. And these are the things, these are the statistics we're looking at, or the people served, or the number of units built, or whatever the case may be. So, I think a lot of it's about articulating. I also think, you know, that there are a number of things that the city has in place that do speak to equity and where we are. But again, when you ask about it, it's hard for folks to articulate it. And I think that that's kind of what we need to do to take it to the next level. So, you know, I think we also, part of what we need to figure out and why we need a facilitator is like, what role can the commission actually play in moving the ball down the field, right? I mean, obviously, we meet once a month for 2 hours as a commission. We're obviously not going to be able to put the time and effort into doing those things. But, you know, if we're suggesting that, you know, we need these indicators that can be measured over time, you know, who within the city is able to do that? Because I think the other thing that I'm very cognizant about is, you know, I know that city staff is working at capacity. And so, you know, if we're putting this other thing on their plate, who's going to be able to do it if that's what we're suggesting? So I don't know if that answered the question exactly, but those are at least some of the thoughts that, you know, I have as I heard folks talk and kind of what you were referring to, Marilyn. So,
yeah, I think it's pretty basic is, you know, how do we define housing equity? Just that question is, how do you define housing equity? And as I was, and maybe that becomes one of our goals as we're going through a goal session is to develop a definition. On page 10 of the report, they address this, and Chicago and Seattle were not able to come up with a definition. Austin's definition for housing equity is an environment where integration, diversity, and inclusion are championed, which is pretty broad and it's pretty vague. So, you know, I think just that question of how do we define housing equity? And then the real question is, okay, well, what do we do about it? You know, what are recommendations that we can take back to the city, as Jay said, to help close that gap?
And I think too, that there are some things that we would all agree on that are very obvious that indicate that housing is not equitable, right? It's like, we all know that evictions are, you know, several thousand per year. We know that people are moving all of the time because they can't pay rent, or, you know, they think they're going to get evicted. I mean, there are a lot of things that we know about that continue year after year that don't seem to improve a whole lot. I mean, the homelessness situation, right? I know, you know, obviously Jason and his crew are putting together some information for us for the next meeting. But I think, you know, while that definition is broad, you know, for me, it's pretty easy to say, well, we would have a much more equitable housing situation in Tucson if thousands of people every year weren't getting evicted, right? I mean, there's just some very clear things that, while I think a broad definition is good, it's not that hard to figure out some, you know, some concrete things as well. So,
Marianne, you had your hand up.
The whole eviction discussion is really complex, you know, because there's a big range of, you know, why evictions take place. And so that one is, I think, a little bit more difficult to manage. But are we also looking at things outside of housing equity? that cause housing inequity. So, you know, income, redline, you know, that kind of stuff. Are we looking at that also?
I think that's a little bit outside of our.
Okay. I just wanted to get clear on that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So I saw that Allison has already emailed all of us the link to these two documents. Please make a note to review these before our next meeting. We'll keep this on the agenda for our August meeting. Any other final comments before we move on to the next agenda item? Okay. Agenda item number 6, which is the voucher concentration. I actually don't know who's leading this discussion. I'm not sure where this agenda item came from. So it's information on a national HUD survey of where housing choice vouchers are concentrated. Allison, do you happen to know whose agenda that is?
I don't know. Ernesto put together the agenda, so I sent it out.
Jay, is it yours?
I definitely sent that around. I didn't necessarily think that we needed to have it as an agenda, but definitely think is, you know, talking about housing equity, it shows, you know, basically that if you have a housing voucher in Tucson, the chances are that you're going to live in a very low opportunity area that is concentrated with other low-income folks and is also likely to be racially segregated as well. So I just thought it was an important piece of the puzzle for our discussion about equity, but I didn't really have any, you know, I don't know that I intended it to be a discussion topic for the meeting necessarily. I don't know if people read it or thoughts about it or what, but.
Yeah, Marianne.
Yeah, I agree. It's a part I've got a, I'm taking notes. And when I saw that, I wrote it. Voucher concentration can lead to the inequity. So I think Jay's right. It should be part of the discussion we have around the equity of housing.
Okay, well, we're rolling through the meeting today. I think this is going to be a rather quick meeting, which is fine. Is there any other discussion points on this?
Nope.
Okay. All right, subcommittee update. So first subcommittee is Housing First. Tisha.
Yeah, so we did meet and we did receive an update from Brandy while we were determining whether or not we had quorum. And we did not have quorum, so we ended the meeting after that. The staff is going to assist us with determining how many members are on the Housing First committee so we can meet quorum.
Okay. Mindy?
I went back through some notes and the subcommittee members were myself, Kimbriana Washington, Wendy Asher, and Mark Clark were listed as people who had spoken about wanting to, well, Mark and Wendy talked about wanting to be on the subcommittee. So I guess I'm asking Mark, is that true? Mark, do you want to be?
Thanks for checking with me, Mindy. It is true. Unfortunately, I can almost never make meetings at 4 o'clock on Mondays or Wednesdays.
So, is Wendy on? Yeah, Wendy.
Yes.
Are you
so still? Wednesdays are difficult for me.
Okay. So, we were unable to have quorum because there were only two members there. So if Wednesdays are not good for either of you, are there other days? Should we consider having the subcommittee at another time or day?
Yes, for sure. Why don't I go ahead, Mindy, offline, send emails to everyone, and we get a date and time that works for everybody.
Great.
And Kim Brianna, she's no longer going to be on the commission, so it looks like it's Mindy, Wendy, Mark, and myself. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. I'll try to get us a meeting that works for all of us. Thank you, Mindy.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Okay. Housing desegregation, Jay.
Not able to meet this month, and so I do not have a report.
Okay. Any comments or questions on housing desegregation? Allison?
Well, not on housing desegregation specifically, but I did, within the subcommittee's report, I'd like to just go over kind of the commissioners who are on each subcommittee. I think we have two new commissioners who, as far as our sort of tracking spreadsheet, we don't have on a subcommittee yet. So wanted to just, you know, clarify which subcommittees folks are on. And then Kenny and Ray, if you have a preference and would like to state it now or discuss over email, let us know.
We need you in housing first. Shameless, sorry.
Oh, I was wondering, would it be possible to join those subcommittees this month when they meet to get a feel for what's going on in them, you know, what the goals are before deciding?
Yeah, I can make sure you're added to those invites, Kenny.
Yeah, me as well. I went to the Housing First subcommittee last month. I would like to go to the other two before committing.
Great. More the merrier.
All right. Good. So Shay is not here for affordable housing. So I'm going to go ahead and give the report. Marianne, maybe you can help me fill in the blanks. So we did have a meeting. We spent quite a bit of time talking about setting an affordable housing goal for the city of Tucson. And so I think it was it Allison or Sarah that presented?
Yeah, it was me, Sarah.
Sarah, thank you. And it's a couple of things that that jumped out was that the city of Tucson currently has 10,826 affordable housing units in the inventory. So 1,489 are owned by the city of Tucson. There's 4,996 Section 8 housing units. And then there's 4,341 that are either LIHTC or 202 or they're third party entities with affordable housing units. So, so that's where we are right now. When we look back 30 years, so most projects, when they have an affordability goal, it's a 30-year goal. So we looked back at how many projects came online 30 years ago. So in 1993, there were 359 units that came online. 94, there was 104. 95, there were 6. And 96, there was 129. So over the next 4 years, there's going to be roughly just under 600 units that are no longer going to be required to be affordable. They may stay affordable. They may not. It just kind of depends on the owner and the in the situation, what they do. So we talked a little bit about goal setting. You know, initially the thought was to trip, you know, if the city could bring on 2 9% projects a year of an average of 75 units per project, 1 4% project per year with an average of 200 units per project, and then something else, you know, total of another 100 units across everything else. And that could be affordable for sale, or other types of temporary shelter housing. That would be 450 units per year. So we know we're going to be losing 600 over the next 4 years. And if we were able to bring on an average of 450 over the next 4 years, that would be a net add of 1,800 units per year. So that was the initial discussion that we had. Obviously, we want to continue to flesh that out, but I thought it was a healthy discussion. We heard a little bit more about some updates from HCD. There's some good news. The LIHTC Awards came out, and the city of Tucson received, the city of Tucson, there was one tribal deal, and then the city of Tucson received 3 of the 4 9% applications this year. So when you add all that up, that means Tucson received almost 33% of the LIHTC applications for 2023, which is great. And I think it's a direct result of the money that the city has put in to supplement affordable housing projects. Marianne, you're on mute.
Keep going. I'm just got my hand raised in case there's anything more to add.
Okay. So the last thing we really talked about was the tiny homes and the shipping containers. We talked about having Bo Phillips was the presenter. Well, he did the open mic last time, and we talked about having him present. I think we'd like to maybe have him present to the subcommittee first before we bring him to the entire commission. One of the concerns that we had was that he's one of multiple different people who are trying to do shipping container tiny homes, and we don't necessarily want to show a preference, but I would like to hear what he has to say, because I don't understand the economics of how they work. So I think we're inclined to have him present to the next subcommittee meeting. And if we feel like it's something that needs to be brought to the entire commission, we'll recommend that. And that's about all we went through. Mindy?
Thank you, Jim. I did some research about the cost of converting shipping containers into a well-insulated livable space is a little bit more than the cost of what a tiny home would be. So then there's the other factors of repurposing. It'll be interesting to see if he has that data on the cost versus new build. Thanks.
So Marianne, do you have anything to add to what I went through?
Yeah, I think there was discussion on not wanting to hear a sales pitch. And I didn't think we were going to invite anyone back. I thought we were going to who's on vacation right now from the city?
Nesto?
No. Oh my God. She works in planning and development.
Oh, Corin.
Corin.
Jeez. Shoot me. I think she was going to look into some stuff and come back, and we were going to discuss more about what it was that we wanted to present to the subcommittee and what kind of questions, you know, we had, you know, what we wanted to learn. So I don't remember having an invite for the next meeting, but.
Okay. I may have just misinterpreted that.
Well, it could be me misinterpreting.
I'll chime in real quick too, because I have my own misinterpretation probably. But I think that sort of the goal is to sort of just understand that as a solution, as an alternative solution, right, to traditional building techniques. There is a whole tiny home thing happening in the background. Staff is working to research to address tiny homes in the code for zoning issues, right? But I think, Jim, you're trying to get at sort of the cost associated with developing, you know, the shipping containers, et cetera. We do have multiple people who are interested in, and I have four companies in particular who have reached out to the city talking about shipping container construction. So I think, you know, not singling any one of them out to present, but maybe what staff can do. And I think what I was planning on trying to kind of pull together are some of their fact sheets that we can kind of throw at the subcommittee and then eventually the full commission too, with sort of the costs. It's so variable. So there's, you know, there's shipping containers that you can buy brand new. There's shipping containers you can buy new. There's shipping containers I just found out today that are sort of they're foldable containers that then pop up. And so there's so much different style and product that's out there that I think it would be sort of narrow viewpoint to just have the one organization give their, like, you know, pitch, but to try to get them plus the other ones I've heard of, see what solutions are offered and get more details on what that financially looks like. So I can work on that, Jim, and have that for the next subcommittee. We can kind of see it. And then, you know, if there's still desire to have either them or even another group come and give more of an educational, like, informational thing as opposed to just a sales pitch, you know, we can try to form that up and have that on, be on one of the future meetings.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
Not to be the open meeting police, but given the interest in this, I think we need to be careful about debating the merits as opposed to debating, as Sarah just articulated, how the discussion ought to be framed going forward. So I think we need to be careful about it. So.
Okay. Understood. So Joe Adino has his hand up as an attendee. Whatever you want to do, what he has to say.
Hey, Jeff, can you hear me?
Yep.
Thank you, as always, for letting me. I just wanted to add to a little bit to that goal setting discussion that the Affordable Housing Subcommittee had, because my point when we had that discussion was that if what we're saying is we think the city can come up with, create or obtain this many units over this many years, that seemed to me like more of a prediction than a goal. And I was kind of surprised that there was pushback to the concept of the goal being related to a need, that the city needs, you know, how many affordable housing units do we need? What will it take if we have goals of decreasing or eliminating homelessness, of not having low-income families with housing cost burden, things like that? I think it would be great if the affordable housing goals were really related to our affordable housing needs. And I was surprised that got pushback, but I think that's important. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Okay, well, I think that discussion is going to continue at the subcommittee level. And then when we feel like it's been fully vetted out, we'll definitely be presenting it to the full commission. Any other questions on the affordable housing? Andy?
It's not about the affordable housing. It's about the invite for that person. The person who is doing the
Bo Phillips.
Yeah, I somehow I may be making it up, but I am recalling that we did agree to have him present to the group. It's fine if we disinvite him at this point. Yeah, sorry about that, Jim. But in context to what I've just heard right now, having him not present would probably be best.
Yeah. Let's let's see what give the subcommittee one more meeting to kind of to talk about it, and then we'll bring it back to the commission in the next meeting, and we can decide how we want to address it going forward. Any other questions for affordable housing, Ray?
Well, I guess maybe this isn't just for the subcommittee, but for anyone here, I heard that there was that Marin Council had asked HCD to look specifically into, maybe it wasn't HCD, maybe it was PDSD, but to look into code for tiny homes and small home villages. Is that something we might be talking about here? Does someone have something more informed to give us an update on? I would be a lot more interested in that conversation than in the like individual groups presenting their project, but like systemically, what is the city doing, allowing or disallowing or making it easier or less easy for these projects to be built? Because there are a lot of these coming up, right? We can name like six nonprofits off the top of my head that are trying to build tiny homes. And it's like, what's the role of the city? And that's a lot of where I see our role here.
Yeah, and I'll kind of chime in since Corin's not here, but I just heard today that it had been requested by Mayor and Council for PDSD to look at it from like a zoning perspective, exactly like you stated, Ray, like from a larger citywide perspective, making these projects happen. It was originally trying to be on the July 18th marathon Mayor and Council session with a million items. And so it has since been pushed. And to give staff a little bit more time to do some more research, looking, you know, doing the analysis of the current code, you know, sort of how things can be done with the code we have now, and then doing research as to what other jurisdictions are doing and what could be done to be changed in our code as well. And I heard today that that'll be on the August, in one of the August study sessions. So we'll keep you guys posted on that. And I'm sure Corin will have more of an update at next month's full commission meeting.
Thank you.
Jay?
Yeah, I just want to, I'm really glad, Ray, that you brought up the systemic aspect of this because, you know, I guess at the end of the day, I'm pretty skeptical of tiny homes. And I think it goes to the larger question of, what exactly are we trying to do to make housing more equitable? I mean, is this just we're able to build more units as tiny homes and that's good? Is it, I mean, I can't imagine that these are going to be for people making 30% of the area median income or 60%. I mean, this is not going to be low income housing. So again, I think partly, again, I just wanted to express I'm skeptical about it for some reasons, but also, when we have these discussions, I think it just kind of, again, reiterates the fact that we don't really have a framework and a vision of where we're trying to go. Like, how do tiny homes fit into anything that we're talking about? So I'm not saying that as a criticism necessarily, but just again, it's like why we need to have a larger vision and a framework about, you know, what we mean for housing equity in 2000.
Marianne? You're on mute.
So we are overseeing the building of 20 tiny homes in Eloy for people who are very low income. And it's rental housing in a community on a piece of property that allows us to put 20 actual homes with kitchens and bathrooms and bedrooms and closets. On a nice parcel. So it can be done for affordable housing. And I've met with Corin, who has looked at what we're doing. Some people think tiny homes are just for home ownership and they aren't. And some people think tiny homes are shelters and they're not. So I think there's some education that has to go on around that. But just so you know, Jay, if you would like some more information, you can contact me directly, and I'm happy to go through what something like that looks like. But Jim, Bob Delaney is in the chat asking for something from you and I, and I think I'd like to work with you on that. So if you have a chance to look in the chat, if we can talk later, you know, about that and that kind of presentation, I think that would be helpful in the subcommittee first.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Bob, I'll send you a direct message. Yeah. Mark?
I was just going to restate my concern about having a discussion about the merits of any particular kind of housing that is actually not on the agenda. Now, maybe we've run out of it at this point, but I think I'm frequently concerned about our open meeting law challenges, our open meeting law practices in this committee in terms of how we, where we end up running afield with conversations that aren't agendaed. That's enough.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. I think we're going to move on. Okay. Our next agenda item is HCD updates. And Ann, you have the floor.
Yeah. And I'll also ask, I see a lot of HCD staff on here, if anyone has any updates to share. One, I will say with the transitions and Liz, changing roles, I'm trying to sort of get my staff in place and my plan in place. And so one announcement is Jason Thorpe on this call attends these meetings, will become an interim deputy director. Just really trying to fill some of the needs that I know I have and I know Jason can fill. So that's one update that I know I'm excited about. And then on the, appreciate that Sarah mentioned the July 18th mayor and council agenda. One of the, HCD has a few items on there to be aware of. One of them is near and dear to all of, to a lot of you, and that is to add an ex officio member that's either a affordable, it's a public housing resident, affordable housing resident, or a voucher holder. And so that was a specific request of you all, which is a consent item on July 18th. And then we have a public housing meeting on July 18th. And one of the items on the agenda is trying to move forward with a master development agreement for the Tucson House rehabilitation and advancement of the affordable housing plan for the Thrive in the 05. So those are a couple key things coming up on mayor and council. And then want to see if Terry, Jason, Brandy, Austin, Sarah, Allison, anyone has anything to add on HCD updates. Doesn't look like it.
All right, any questions for Ann or anybody else in HCD? Marianne.
Congratulations, Jason. And good choice.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Okay, the next commission meeting is August 3rd and then September 7th. The Affordable Housing Commission is June 21st. Housing desegregation is June 22nd, and then the Housing First is TBD, depending on what Tisha is able to work out with the rest of the commission members.
Jim, did you mean July? You just said June.
I'm sorry. These dates are incorrect. I was reading off the thing. So I think the affordable housing, is it July 21st?
July 19th.
July 19th, and housing desegregation is on our website.
July 27th. I think, yeah, I think these just got copied from the last month's agenda.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. Okay. So a couple agenda items. We've got the, we're going to continue the discussion with the facilitator, the equity study. Jason, I think you're going to be giving a presentation on the homelessness and encampment updates. And then we're going to get an update from the city on the tiny homes. One other agenda item I'd like to add is revisiting our youth commission member. The commission voted to have a youth member, and I'd like to discuss that again and see if that's something we still want to have going forward to replace Kim Brianna. Are there any other agenda items that any of the commission members would like to see in our next meeting? Okay, well, if you have any, please feel free to email Jay and I. I appreciate all of you. It's 5:08, so we are adjourned. Have a good month. Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Stay cool.
It's going to be 110 all week.
Tucson.